Well, for the weekend, the theme that we have this weekend is walking with God and walking with your family. Walking with God and your family. And I'm going to do sort of an introduction to that, and then you're going to have different speakers for the rest of the weekend, the same as last year. Tomorrow morning, Joey Cook is going to be speaking, and this tomorrow evening, Mark Hatt will be speaking. I'm not sure what Joey's theme is. I think Mark is on the Word in the family. Huh? And then Sunday morning, Ian McCullough will be sharing. And then Sunday night, Pastor Hugh will be finishing off those sessions. So that's just a little bit of an outline. And we're trusting that the Lord will have something to say to each one of us through the weekend. I'm going to start in Psalm 27 tonight, and I guess my focus tonight is one focus for yourself and for your family, one place. And what I want to do in Psalm 27, probably, it's something that I hear over and over again, and when people raising kids, is it's a tough time to raise kids. There's a lot that can come against our children. And, you know, there's a lot of parents that have some fear and trembling about the whole thing as kids get older, and you just don't know how things are going to turn out. And sometimes struggles can happen, deep struggles. And I can attest to some very deep struggles in my own position in parenting, heartbreaking situations. I'm not wishing that on anyone. And I'm sure if somebody could have done a better job than me, maybe it wouldn't have happened in my family where my child went astray. But I found the Lord spoke to me in the middle of some of those trials. And this was a psalm that became very precious to me, because I didn't have any place else to go in the midst of that struggle. And whether the struggle is small or seemingly insignificant to other people, and it may be a struggle you're having with, you know, just a teenager that's just in the 13 and 14 year olds, and they don't know what they're doing with themselves and are hard to manage. It may be an infant child and not sleeping at night. Whatever the struggle is, we are going to face struggles in parenting. Some of them are going to be deep. Some of them are going to overwhelm us at times. But I wanted to consider what David did in the midst of his trouble. Now, this particularly doesn't speak of family trouble, but like I said, no matter what the trouble is, there is a place to turn to, and I want to encourage us to that tonight. Let's pray for a moment. Father, take your word and make it real to our own souls and cause us to see, Lord, how wonderful you are and how, oh God, in the midst of the trials and the struggles and the joys and the situations of life, we have you to turn to. So we do pray, Lord, that you will bless. You will encourage us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. When you're faced with a trial or a circumstance or whatever the situation is. Maybe it's financial problems, or maybe it's parental problems, or maybe it's spouse problems, or me problems, or whatever it is. And you come before the Lord, what do you generally do? Talk to me. Okay, yeah, you come before the Lord, you pray, okay? Tell me what you pray.
Help.
Help. That's right. Help. So what are you praying about then? What are you doing? When you come before God, what are you praying about? Pardon me? Yeah, isn't that right? Is that right? What's paramount on your mind when you're faced with struggles? Is it the Lord so much, or is it the problem so much? What is it usually? It's the problem. Now, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to bring our cares to the Lord, our problems and our struggles to God, isn't it? Isn't it a good thing? And we need to do that. But what I want you to see tonight is that David was surrounded by his enemies, and they were all around him. Now, if you were surrounded by your enemies and they were all around you, and you were being sieged by all your enemies, and you decided you were going to come to pray, what you would probably be doing is saying, God, help me! Right? Am I right? You'd be looking at the situation, you'd be looking at the problem that you're in, and you'd be just crying out to God for help, crying out to God for help. But what I want you to do tonight is maybe take a little glance at what David was doing here in the midst of chaos. And I don't know about you, but can family life be chaos? Can it? When isn't it? Right? In the midst of chaos, what am I going to do? Because I could be consistently and constantly crying out to God for help. And there's no better place to go but to the Lord. There's no question about that. But what we notice here is in the midst of an army camped against him, in Psalm 27:4, he says this: one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. Now, if it was you or me, we might say, one thing I have desired of the Lord. I need you to fix this problem, Lord. I need this situation fixed. That's what I need. But that's not the one thing that David spoke of, is it? What is the one thing? What is it? My dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. It looks like more than one thing. But in one sense, it is one thing. It is the central place to be. It is where David realized something. And you can see, even in the midst of, as the psalm is introduced, he says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He speaks about when the enemies come around him. It's 27:2. They stumbled and fell. Though an army camp around me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Somehow, in the midst of all of the things that could come against David, he realized that there was one place that he could be. And if he was in that place, then he had a better perspective on the rest of it. So his focus was not on the problem. It was on the Lord. And out of that, he could see the problem, but he could see that his God was bigger. Bigger than that problem. He could see that God was able. Because the focus of his life was this one thing. That's the one thing I desire of the Lord. And that's what I will seek. And it's interesting to see that that's in the midst of the statement of his enemies surrounding him. In the time of trouble, you see Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble he will hide me in his pavilion. And in Psalm 27:6, my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. And then I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Now there are times when you don't know what to do. There are times when you're broken. And I can say, For myself and my wife, when our daughter left us and ran off with a guy and ended up in Ontario somewhere, we didn't know where she was. I can't describe to you the depth of agony of my soul. If anybody here would know some of it, would be you. because he watched me weep and break down and cry. And many is the time we got together and prayed. And I had nothing left but to come to God and continue to come to God. And I didn't think I could bear it. I didn't think that I could make it through the agony of that. I do thank God for my woodpile. I just had 8 cords of wood delivered. And I tell you, hardwood never got attacked so viciously. I beat that woodpile to pieces in a very short period of time. But in the midst of all of that, God kept calling me back. And this passage of scripture, God gave to me in the midst of this. In the midst of the agony of my soul, he called me to come and be with him. You know, the first week, all I did was scream, why? But then after a while, you run out of steam. And then I began to call on the Lord. And I began to see him and how much I needed him. And it didn't mean it was easy. It didn't mean that my heart wasn't broken, and it just suddenly all that went away. No, it didn't. None of that. My heart was just as broken, but I found the Lord in the midst of it, and I found hope in Jesus Christ that he was going to do something. And you know, the Lord has a way of doing that. The Lord has a way of visiting us, and even when there's times when we don't know what to do. And I remember both Marie and I were just distraught one day, and Marie was upstairs and digging around in the closet for something, and she came across this old video cassette, and we still had a video cassette player, and she brought it down, and we had never watched it, and it was Jim Cimbala. Anybody know who Jim Cimbala is? But he had a daughter that had gone astray, and he was telling the story of what had happened and the restoration of his daughter, and we just knew that God, somebody gave me that 10 years earlier, and I never looked at it. There it was, waiting for just the time when we needed to see it. And we take this down, we plug it in, we don't even know what it's about. We had never seen it. We didn't say anything about daughter gone astray. We didn't say any of that on it. It just said Jim Cimbala, something about praise and worship on the front of it. She said, well, let's watch this. Let's see what it says. And there was his heartbroken story of a wayward daughter and the restoration of his daughter. And it was just what we needed at just the moment that we needed it. My friends, God knows the struggles that we go through, whether they're small, whether they're great, whatever they are. My encouragement to you, and I encourage myself, and not only back then through that time of struggle, but now I still, this is a one place to be, one place. If my focus is on the Lord, and if he keeps me there in a place where I'm going to dwell in his house, that means I'm going to be with God. If I go there, that's where I live. If my focus is, Lord, I need to be with you. I need to be with you, Lord. Not just to come and ask for things. Not just to come with a list and say, God, this is what I need today. I need this, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Thank you very much. But Lord, I need to come and spend time with you. The only way I'm going to get to know my God is to spend time with my God, to actually see him as he really is. And you know, God, grace is so wonderful, and God is so awesome that yes, he comes and visits us. Yes, he comes and encourages us. And yes, he lifts us up time and time again. We've all been lifted up. We've all been given the word that we need to get through and to maintain and to do and even go forward in parenting and in being a spouse and in working through struggles and trials. But let me encourage you that God's calling you with this same heart that David had. The Holy Spirit put this here for us to see, I need to be with Jesus. I need time. I need to be found worshiping. I need to discover who he is. I need to fall in love with him. Because look, when I see him as he really is, surely those problems look a little smaller. Surely they find their right perspective when I see God, when I see his authority and his power, when I see his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, when I see how much he loves my family, that he loves my family more than I do, and that he has the keys or the understanding of what my family needs. So I need to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to spend time with him and get to know him. If all I'm doing is coming and saying, Lord, I need you for this. I need you for this. And we need to ask him for those things. Ask him for every little thing. But all spend time with Jesus. It was one of the things that both you and I realized, I think, and I think we still realize it. Sometimes we don't get together and pray as much as we used to. And I said the other day, especially now that I'm down in Shedding Camp, oh, I miss those times of prayer. We decided we were going to get together and pray. But we decided we were not going to get together and pray for the work and pray for, you know, all the needs that are out there. We were going to get together and pray and seek the face of God. Because that's what we needed. And when we seek the face of God, then you can pray more effectively for other things. Because then I'm in communion with him. I'm seeing him as he is. It's hard to pray in faith when you don't see that God is able. And you know, at times we've found that we got astray from that sometimes. Sometimes it seemed like it wasn't just seeking the face of God. We got, oh no, we have to get all this. We have to do. And every time it seems, I don't know if you can correct me on that, but it seems like the Lord just kept bringing us back to that place where we got to meet with Jesus. I need to connect with God. You know, it's a real love affair that God invites us to. And that love affair is that we come into this love affair with Jesus. And you know, when you're in love with someone, and that someone that you're in love with is everything to you, do you think the people around you notice? Do you think they notice? Yeah, Mark, when you were first in love with Neela, did your friends know that you were in love with Neela? Didn't they? Yeah, they did, right? Pardon me? And you let them know about it too. That's right. Because Neela was your passion. And when someone is your passion, then and that love relationship is growing and it's intimate and it's awesome. Do you think that that's going to have a profound effect on your family? On your children? I would say that was going to have a great effect on your family. Now, of course, your children are still going to make their decisions, and sometimes they're going to be, you know, things are going to go haywire, and sometimes things are going to go wonderful, and sometimes, you know, you're going to have an argument with your wife at least once. You know, those things are going to happen. But in the midst of that, find the one thing. In the midst of all of the chaos of life, keep going back to one place. Lord. He says, this is what I desired of the Lord. While his enemies were surrounding him, I desire of the Lord, and that's what I'm seeking after. I want to dwell in your house, O Lord, all the days of my life. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I want to inquire in his temple. I want to be with God. I want to dwell with him. I want to see his beauty, and then I will inquire at his temple. Those three things are all wrapped around the very person of God. I often use this little illustration about prayer and intimacy with God. Can you imagine the day I got married to my wife? And I can remember the day very well. And the day that I got married, and we met down at the in front of the preacher. It was Rick Hayden that married us. And as soon as we both said, I do, and you may kiss the bride, and we got that over with, and then I just pulled a big list out. And I said to my wife, well, here's a list of what I want you to do. And once we're done, you're done with that list, I'll have another one ready. Can you imagine what her reaction might be? It might be, excuse me, I meant I don't. Not I do. Right? And if she had done the same, can you imagine what that kind of relationship, is that a good foundation to have a relationship on? Do you think? Absolutely not. And yet, somehow, in our relationship with God, it's not so much this love affair, it's not so much this intimacy, this seeking to get to know, but it's, here's my list again. Here's my list again. And fix this for me. And when you're done fixing this, I know I'll have some more stuff for you to fix. And somehow we lose the life, the intimacy, the closeness that God calls us to. And if we do, we're going to miss. We're going to miss the real thing. So that, yes, we will come to the Lord, and God, full of grace and mercy, will often meet those things that we ask Him to do. Because He's so full of grace. Because He loves us. But I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live empty. I don't want to live without being in love with Jesus Christ. I want that one thing to be paramount in my life, and I want it to be paramount in my family. Not the work of ministry. And I can tell you, there are times when the work of ministry was more the one thing than the Lord Himself. I can tell you that. There's times when I'm so busy working for God that I don't have time to be with God. What a tragedy, right? Let me encourage you to that one thing. And I know that if you take that one place, and if you do take the time for that, you will find you'll be gravitate to a love towards your wife, your husband, your children, your parents. It will change the relationships around you. Your walk, an intimate walk with God, must produce an intimacy with others. It must. Because that's the nature of God. That's His passion. That's His life. That's His love. And if I am walking with Jesus, then I'm going to be walking. If I'm truly walking with Jesus, it's going to affect my walk with others that are around me. Can I encourage you to that one thing? In Psalm 84, and I know these are familiar passages, but in Psalm 84, we find a similar vein here with the sons of Korah, not David, but the sons of Korah. And they speak about this being with God. They say, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. How lovely are your dwelling places. How beautiful it is to be with God. My soul longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Oh Lord, I want to be with you. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The birds are finding a home in the temple. And they're nesting there. That's where I want to be, Lord. I want to be with you all the time. I want to dwell with you." And so there's two ways of looking at this, being intimate with God in prayer. And it's not just the one-shot deal. It's not just, okay, I'm going to spend some quality time with God. It's that. But it's ongoing. It's dwelling. It's dwelling in your house, Lord. That's what He said in the other psalm. I want Him to dwell in the house of the Lord. And so it's an ongoing, this incredibly ongoing love relationship. And then He says the blessings that come from this. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Living with God. Spending time with God, intimate with God, not flash in the pan stuff, but Lord, I need you every moment. Oh, I find when I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, I'm not getting out of bed without talking with you, without being with you. I don't want to think my own thoughts before I spend time with you, Lord. And just talking to God, getting out of bed, talking to Him, walking down, just whispering to Him, just, oh, Lord, it's a beautiful day you've given. Oh, Lord, it's wonderful to be with you. Show me yourself today. Let me be with you. They'll still be praising you, it says, because they're dwelling in their house. I remember a little Filipino man that came to visit. He was a missionary, and he came to stay in my house. And we were living in a little cabin across the road from my house, and the walls were paper thin, and this little man, I went to pick him up at the bus station, and I had a picture of his head so I would recognize him. And I guess I didn't realize how short most Filipino people are. So all I had was this picture of his head, and I got in my mind that this great big fellow was going to come off the bus, right? And I got to the bus, and I was waiting, and the last fellow to get off was this guy who was no more than about 4 feet tall. And then I realized, oh, that's the head. That's him. But even though he was a little man, what a man of praise. I was like, praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord. Oh, brother, look at that leg. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I said, wow. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then 2 o'clock in the morning, the paper thing was, praise the Lord. And by 4 o'clock, praise the Lord. He never stopped. I didn't think he was doing it in sleep. I didn't know if he slept. But he was so full of joy. But you know, he was not only full of joy. It wasn't like an empty praise. It was real. And when they run into that kind of reality where someone is worshiping God, we have relegated worship to some songs. And we sing these songs and we call that worship. Oh man, worship is a 24/7 reality. Oh, he's so worthy. One glimpse of him, and would you be worshiping? We know that, don't we? If we get a glimpse of God, doesn't it stir your heart to worship? Doesn't it? Amen? Yeah, doesn't that? Has it been that long? It stirs your heart to worship. One glimpse of him. Imagine if we could see him consistently. And that's what David was saying, and that's what the psalmist here is saying. Consistently being with God. Oh, do your children hear you? Praise the Lord. Do your children see you full of worship, full of love, full of glory? Man, that's not normal. It's abnormal. I want to be abnormal. They'll still be praising you. That's what he says in Psalm 84:4. It's ongoing worship. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, his heart is set on this pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca or weeping, they make it a spring. The rain covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. It's this incredible life, he says. The blessings that come if I'm walking with God, if I have this one thing. I have the strength of the Lord. I've been praising God continually. My heart is set on this journey. God is first, and he stays first. You know, it's just marvelous when you come into contact with someone who's in love with Jesus Christ. You know it. Think of Erin Burton, a young girl. And, you know, she went on a mission trip with YWAM there last spring and came back. And yet there was still struggle. There was still, wasn't that release? And she shared her testimony down in Shetty Camp. And if you're interested, just go up to my church website, Christian Community Church of Shetty Camp, and listen to her testimony. She said, I surrender to a place where it's just like I got married. Now, she was never married, so I don't know how she knew what it was just like you got married. She must think, getting married, is that awesome? It's just like I got married. She said, oh, I'm in love with Jesus. And I stopped at the goat today. Everybody knows where the goat is, right? Yeah, everybody knows the goat, right? I stopped at the goat, and she was working there, and her face is glowing. It's just glowing because she's in love with Jesus. It's glowing, not because she's on the mission field or not because she was on the mission field. She's going on the mission field. She was thinking about going, but she said, whether God wants me to go or not to go, that's up to him. I'm surrendered. Oh, and it's wonderful, she said. And so I saw her today. I said, well, you know, how are things going? She said, the Lord spoke to me. She said, not to go. And she was full of joy. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that awesome? Oh, friends, that's the one thing. Somehow, God in his grace had brought her to see one thing. And it's above every other thing. Dwelling with God. Being with God. They will still be praising you. It's ongoing worship. And I love this Psalm 84:6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, or the valley of weeping, the veil of tears, as the old expression. They make it a spring, and the rain covers it with pools. And I love one translation, it says, they leave behind springs and pools. They're going through a desert valley because they're walking with God, because they're filled with the Lord. Wherever they step, there's pools left behind them. Pools. And who are the pools for? Who are they for?
Others.
Others. Provision for others. Others get to drink at those pools. Your family gets to drink at those pools. Your children get to drink at those pools that you're leaving behind because you're being filled up. As you're going through the desert valley, you're leaving behind springs and pools. Isn't that wonderful? What a beautiful picture that is for us and for those who are with us and others. Didn't Jesus promise that if we came to him and we drank, that we would have living water just for us? Is that what he said? Now, what did he say? What did he say? Somebody tell me. You know, what's that? It would be for others, but what did he say? If any man's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his what? Inmost being will flow what? Rivers of living water. That's like way beyond. You know, a lot of times, if we're real and we're honest, we aren't even full ourselves. We're just somewhere maybe up to the neck. But full? Not so often, eh? But that's not what the scriptures are promising. They're not only promising full, they're promising overflow. And not just a trickle, but a river. And not just a river, but rivers of living water. That is awesome and incredible. That's the promise of God that comes from coming to him and drinking. That's what he said. We go from strength to strength. Everyone appears before God in Zion. And I'm just going to finish off with Psalm 284:10. My time's gone. Because what? A day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. I just got to be with Jesus. Can I encourage you and myself? The greatest blessing we can be to our families is to be with Jesus. There's no substitute for it. There's no isms. There's no, you can get the best books on parenting. You can do the best things. The greatest blessing is to be with Jesus. Sometimes you may be being with Jesus and there may be still be chaos in the family. It's not saying that there isn't going to be chaos. It's not saying things may go from bad to worse. What am I going to do? I'm going to be found. No one thing. Because ultimately God will win it out. He will win it out. Don't get swallowed up in the short-term chaos, in the short-term problems, to the point where you miss being with Jesus. You can trust him with the hardest things. You can trust him with the short term and the long term. God will win out. My daughter called from Ontario in tears. Can I come home? Can you come home? You bet you can come home. And even now, God's working. He's doing some good stuff right now in her life that needed to happen, that I've been crying out to God for. And it doesn't mean I have an ache in my heart, that I want to see her praising God fully, wonderfully. And I believe that will happen. I believe God is doing some neat stuff right now to make that take place. But in the process of all of that, don't miss the one thing. Don't miss it. Because that place is the place of life. And it's the place of overflow. And it's the place of blessing for your family, for friends. It's the only place to be. Amen. Hugh, you close it. Prayer.
Lord, I just thank you.
much greater than we think.
Yeah.
Much greater than we imagine, more willing for us to be at your feet, Lord, than we're thinking of. Lord, you pull at us to come daily, hourly. Oh God, I pray you just make us sensitive, Lord, to your call in our hearts, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh God, let everything else fall out to the side just for you. Just to be with you, to walk with you day by day, hour by hour, Jesus.
Mm.
Lord, every day we will walk with you. We'll know that we're in step with your Holy Spirit, Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you, oh God. Thank you for these passages. Lord Jesus, just saturate us with them, Lord. Let them just come right back into our minds and hearts. Mm. They're beautiful scriptures.
Thank you, Lord.
Your words so beautiful, Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, the language, what David's describing here, Lord, is just so beautiful.
Mm.
Thank you, God. Praise you. I pray we'll dwell in that, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I pray we'll find that place ourselves.
Yeah.
Where we use similar language, Lord, to be with you.
Mm.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, speak to us personally and deeply, Lord. Mm. Amen. Speak to each one of us, oh, God. And give us a responsive heart to you.
Yeah.
Lord, don't let us just hear your word. Lord God, let us take it in. Let our hearts respond. Let something change out of this, Jesus.
Mm.
Even for us, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, oh, God, may we lay aside those things that are distracting us right now. Yes, oh God, speak to us, Lord.
Mm.
Lord, yes, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your precious word.
Mm.
Praise your name. Glory to you, Jesus. In your blessed name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.